My name's Christian, for those who don't know me, and you are warmly welcomed to C3 Cheltenham. I hope you're going to have a lovely time, the rest of the lovely time that you're here. I just wanted to say a massive thank you for those that helped with Alva's life celebration. Give those guys a round of applause. Well, I nearly got you there. That was wonderful on Friday, and for those that helped out, that was really needed. So huge thanks. That's every single one of you. So I'm going, it's funny when you look out, first of all, at people's faces. Some people are really pleased that you're up on the stage. Some people have given me a face where they're like, "You better be good this week." I'm not looking at anybody in particular. But there we go. Some people are going, "It's never good." But there we are. I'm going to start with a question, which is this. What are you frustrated by? What is the thing that frustrates you the most?
Computers.
Interesting. Maybe I'll reframe it a little bit. What do you want to see change the most? Computers still? Okay, that's fine. All right. I'll reframe it again. Where do you desire to see God break through?
Peace in the world.
Fed up with wars and violence. Right, okay. Now we get to something better than computers. All right, then. Now, the obvious answer to these things, a lot of the time, apart from the computer's answer, the obvious answer to a lot of these things is to pray. A lot of people will say, "Oh, you want to see these things happen? Pray. Pray into those things." But have you ever prayed and seen no answer at all?
Yeah.
You ever prayed and said, "Nothing changes when I pray, so what's the actual point?" And this week, and next week, actually, because this is quite a massive topic, we're going to start looking at principles in the Bible that actually release God's power into our lives and into others' lives around us. And in particular, what is meant by Jesus when he says, "Pray in faith," and because that was something that comes out quite a bit. This makes a massive impact into the world, into our lives. It makes a massive impact into the atmosphere around us. And we're going to start by looking at a fig tree. Okay? You all right with that? Brilliant. So, we're going to look at this in Mark. It's in two particular Gospels, this story. Mark goes through it like this. In Mark 11, that's Jesus, noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off. So he went to see if he could see and find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, "May no one ever eat your fruit again." And the disciples heard him say it. Very mean, isn't it? Okay, a few verses down. The next morning, as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed it had withered from the roots up. All right, so let's get a hold of this. The next day, the disciples see this. Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, "Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died." Then Jesus said to the disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe you've received it, it will be yours." Okay? That's lovely, isn't it? Now, let's have a look at the same story in Matthew. And I'm just going to pick out one verse, 21:19, because otherwise we'll be here all day. "And he noticed a fig tree beside the road, and he went over to see if there were any figs on it, but there were only leaves. Then he went to see it and said," "then he said to it, 'May you never bear fruit again.' And immediately, the fig tree withered up." It's a bit of a contradiction, isn't it? No? Back to Mark. You don't have to go back on the text. Back to Mark, it says they didn't see it till the next day. But in Matthew, it says immediately. So it's either a massive contradiction or God's trying to teach us something through it. I love these things which appear to be contradictions at first sight, or there seem to be some kind of look at this, because God's actually trying to teach us something deeper in these particular verses. So let's have a look. What is God trying to teach us? Is there something to learn from this? What is God throwing in this? In Matthew, God got to work immediately, right? That's what it says. God got to work immediately, and it withered away. It does not say the disciples saw it straight away. It just said it immediately withered. So as soon as it was prayed, God got to work immediately. From Mark, if you flick across to Mark, you can see that initially the work took place under the ground because it withered from the roots up. Make sense? Okay? So everything that's taking place immediately is going on under the surface. Everything that's going on immediately is taking place where nobody can see it, apart from God. Got it? It's all taking place under the soil. And that's where it took to the next day before the real results, if you want to call them that, the leaves were on display. And this is faith, okay? Praying in faith is not praying for something and getting it straight away. Are you with me? Because there's no faith needed for something to be happening straight away. I've got the whole thing straight away. There's no waiting involved. But when we don't see change immediately in the natural, that's where faith is. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Got it? So this is really important. Faith says God has started moving, even though my natural eyes can't see it. Faith says that God's moving in an invisible place right now. I'm not seeing it, but that's what I am actually believing for. He starts on, and this is important, he starts on the roots of the issue first. Yeah? If I pray for someone's headache to go away, and I just say, whatever the situation, I pray for this person's headache to disappear, amen, and it does, it might be that something else is causing those headaches. You with me? Yeah? Sometimes, usually, God will, if someone comes to the front for a headache, usually there are things. There's anxiety, there's worries, there's other things that are right at the bottom of that, that God's saying you need to pray into that if you want to see healing. It might be that with a lot of different situations, we don't see immediate fruit. But that's the natural world, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't that the natural world? If you sow a seed, do you expect it to sprout into a tree straight away? No. So this is faith. It's all the way. Faith is in the waiting. Faith is in the bit where I pray, I wait, and then at some time later, maybe the next day, if you're fortunate, or maybe a long time afterwards, then you see the fruit of it. But I've prayed for people, many people, for healing, and they've had absolutely no change whatsoever. Absolutely nothing at all. But like, if we look at the more positive ones, over the next few days, they've reported a significant improvement. We prayed for a lady a few weeks back who'd had a bad back, severely bad back, for 25 years. No change whatsoever on the first day. And then the next day, she woke up with no pain. Now, that's, I guess, pretty good. The next day, you'd go for that, wouldn't you? The next day. But these are the things. You can look at it and go, well, I didn't see any change. So what's the actual point in it there? We prayed for Rosanna. Where are you, Rosanna? Prayed for Rosanna last week for your knee and your hip. Yes. Was it better than that minute? No, it wasn't, no. But over the course of the week, you say there was a significant improvement. So this is prayer. Yes, prayer in faith. It's not happening straight away, but God's working on things straight away. And then bit by bit by bit, you start to see it in the natural. Now, this is something I really want to major on, because prayer is conversation with God. Okay? Prayer is not transmitting to God. And if we get into this mindset of prayer being transmitting, I'll just go at God for an hour, you're going to get really bored with it really quickly, because there's nothing coming back. If my relationship with my wife was literally me just saying, Angie, can you get me this? Can you get me that? Can you do that for me? Can you buy that for me down the shops? Can you do that? Bye bye, I'm off. She's not going to be happy with me after a while. Yeah. That's just a bit of marriage advice if you're interested. Because that's just not a relationship, is it? She's probably going to go, do you want to not listen to what I want to talk about a little bit? God desires the most intimate relationship. He desires a close relationship with us. He desires a relationship, yes, where we're listening and we're talking. A bit of both. It's both ways. That's prayer. Talking, listening. And he wants to communicate all the way through our prayer time. Be aware of that. Give him some space to talk to him, because that, to listen to him as part of that, because that in itself is absolutely essential. A great person to look at in all of this is Abraham in the Bible. He was known as a friend of God. It's pretty good, isn't it? And the reason, do you know why he was called a friend of God? No, keep your head down if you don't want to be picked on. That's the best way. He was called a friend of God, basically, because he was open with God. All right? He talked with him, not at him. And out of that close relationship, he learned to trust God. If you are talking and listening, then you develop a trusting relationship more and more and more. Faith comes by hearing. Amen? And that's important. Genesis 22:17, God is speaking. Abraham is listening. And this is what God says. I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number. He's got no descendants at the moment. Like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies. Where was Abraham living at the time? Any knowledge on this? It's fine. Don't worry if you don't. Josh? All right, very good. Which is?
Modern day Iraq.
Right, okay. Geography is really good. It's in the desert. That was the bit I was after, but that's great. It was in the desert. It was in the desert. You got far better knowledge than I did on all of that. Very good, Josh. If I had a chocolate, I'd give it you, but I only have a small glass of water. But anyway, I'm sure we'll get that later. He's living in the desert, right? So every single day, what does he see? Sand. And every single night time, what does he see? Stars. That's where he's living. He's living in a place where you're getting excited, aren't you? You're enjoying it. So this is where he's living. He's living in a place where he is totally and utterly being reminded of the words that God has spoken to him. For 25 years, he's living in that place until in the end, what God has promised comes to fruition. Amen? Listening and reminded himself and listening and reminded himself again and again and again. And faith is built from that particular place of conversation. It's so important and it's hugely underestimated. Pray and wait. If you're going to remember anything from this today, pray and wait. Wait to see what God wants to input into you after you've made a request, after you've spoken to him, after you've said anything at all. Because guess what? God's always talking. God's always there and he's always wanting to input something into your life. He's always wanting to say something to you. This week, I was praying for somebody to come back to God. I was praying for someone specifically to come back to him. And I then thought, you know what? I'm going to wait. I'm just going to stop. I'm just going to wait to see what God's got to say about this. And I felt him say, I'm working on this now. I'm moving in his heart. You will see fruit of this soon. And you know, when I heard that, when I sensed that coming into my heart, I was so moved by those words. This was no longer a hopeful, oh, it'd be great if this person came back to you. This was like, this is happening. God cares about this situation. And God's on the case about this situation. Amen? There's a big difference between praying, transmission, and praying and listening. And I just say that if you're going to take anything from this, just pause in your prayers. Just give God a space to just say something into you yourself. Because he's got a lot to say. A huge amount to say. Huge amount to say. It's true. Shortly after Jesus' resurrection, there were two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They didn't know, they didn't believe that Jesus had been raised from the dead. They were just in absolute disappointment, fed up like anything. And then Jesus himself joined them and started talking with them. And they didn't recognize it at first. But as he spoke with them, as he had conversation with them, their bitter disappointment in the end turned to passion and joy. That was literally listening to the voice of Jesus. That was spending time with Jesus, just listening to him and having a conversation with him. Took them from one place to the next. And that happened just before they had a revelation that Jesus had raised from the dead. Because, all right, yes, he did reveal himself right at the very end. But they said on that road, weren't our hearts burning? Weren't our hearts burning? So there's an indication that every single time they were listening, something was happening. Hearing the voice of God is our rocket fuel to our faith. Okay? Remember that it's so, so important. So do pause. So that's the bit I really wanted to get hold of. But what if our prayers still don't seem to be heard? Because it happens, doesn't it? Yeah, you've prayed, you've waited, whatever. What happens is still nothing's happening. Trust is going to come down to it massively, absolutely massively. Colossians 4, verse 2 to 6, gives us a little bit more of a hint in this. Persevere in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving at the same time. Pray for us too that God may open a door. This is essential for outreach. For the word to speak of the mystery of Christ for which I am in prison, that I may make it clear as I must speak. Perseverant prayer makes a huge impact. It's not just a one-off prayer. It's a massive, massive impact into releasing the power of God, the life of God into this world. Imagine, if you would, a rugby scrum, all right? And so you've got in this rugby scrum, your team, and they're trying to push forward, yes, in that kind of scrum scenario. Just imagine them just pushing once and going, well, that don't work, does it? Yeah? You'd be pretty rubbish, wouldn't it? Go out, everyone push. No, I've tried once and nothing happened. But that's how we feel with prayer sometimes, isn't it? Have you prayed for it? Yeah, prayed. Yeah. How many times? Once. Well, sometimes you have to just keep on persevering. The Bible makes it ridiculously clear. And persevering doesn't mean inanely repeating the same words over and over and over again, as Matthew 6 makes clear. It's that whole thing of trusting the situation over to God again and again and again. Amen? Okay? So when it says in Matthew 6, don't be like the heathen who pray the same repetitive words, Matthew 7 says, ask and keep on asking. It's about trust and keep on trusting. God, I give you this situation again. Because isn't it easy to take them off God again? Yeah, I find it. I find I'm owning this thing that I gave to God only yesterday. Let's give it back to him again. Let's trust him with it again. Let's trust him with it again. The more we persevere in prayer, the more you'll see the situations you want to see change. The more you see things transform around you, it will make a huge, huge, huge change in people's lives. The vision of the church is to transform communities. I'm more focusing on transforming communities now by the power of God. Some years ago, a couple I knew very well split up. They had children, and I prayed for a long time, and I got more people alongside me to pray for them. And we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed for this couple. It looked like there was no hope, absolutely no hope whatsoever. But eventually, God broke through. Eventually, forgiveness and restoration happened. God wants to see his kingdom come, doesn't he? Yeah. He's more bothered than we are, funnily enough, about his kingdom coming and his will being done on the planet. He's got more of a compassion, more of a passion for his people or for people around. So make sure that we are on the page of his heart, that we're carrying his heart, because we will want to see what he wants to see happen, and we'll keep on going in that direction and keep on praying. God uses our prayers to transform lives for the good. Prayer is a massive weapon that each of us can use at any time you jolly well want to see God break through with his kingdom power. Several times, I used to be a maths teacher for those that don't know. Several times the school would give me classes that needed, what's the best way of putting this? Get them back on track, Christian. Possibly. Their behavior, their performance was not really good. Turn their chaos into order. Right, okay. basically that was the order. That was what I had to do. And they would give. This happened a lot of times. My best weapon in all of those classes was to pray for them. It was nothing else. People would say, "How do you do it?" I just prayed. That was it. There we are. I've said it. You know, I was not a magician. I couldn't really write a book on classroom management other than pray a lot, and that was it. And I prayed, and then people slowly, well, not even slowly sometimes, quite quickly came into a place where they were working because they wanted to do well, rather than working at duress or not working at all, that matter, or skipping the class, Daniel. No, I'm just mentioning it. I'm not saying you do. Because you mentioned, Never talk when your dad's preaching. Oh, sorry, mate. All right, then. But the best weapon I had was to pray. The best weapon I had was to actually look out and go, right, God, these guys, I don't know what to do with them. I'm going to pray. And I did, and I just gave them to God. Every morning, I would be going to school. As I went through the school gates, I'd be going, God, it's got to be you again. It's got to be you that does this day, because if it's not, then I am not going to be able to teach and not going to be able to do what my job title says I'm supposed to do. And God never let me down once. And because of that, I thoroughly enjoy teaching. Actually, because he was there all the time. Persevering in prayer at school for me was such an essential. I never let it go. And the more I prayed, the more the atmosphere in my classrooms changed. The more I prayed, the more the culture changed to be much more positive and much more encouraging. Yeah. People actually enjoyed coming to maths lessons. Now, that's a miracle. And that's possibly the biggest miracle I've ever witnessed in my life. So there we go. Whatever, and you can apply that to whatever thing you're doing at the moment, whatever you're doing in work or home or whatever. Think about it. What do you want to see change? What culture do you want to see change? What atmosphere do you want to see change? Because God knows how to do it much more than we know how to do it. And I think sometimes we're in this zone of, I need to have all the answers. Well, guess what? We don't. Second, final, third, whatever it is, question. Can you just look down at the floor? Because I can see that not many people want to put their hands up today. Look down at the floor if you ever find it hard to pray. Look at you, looking at me. Well, I don't need to do that point then. You're all brilliant. That's fantastic. Just for my purposes then, if that's all right, I'll just do this bit there. Psalm 63, verse 3 to 5. All right, watch this. You'll like this. Psalm 63, verse 3 to 5 says the following. It doesn't say because on this one. It does say it in a different version. Your unfailing love, some versions, some translations say because. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. That's incredible in itself, isn't it? Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. Everything starts with God's unending love. Okay? If you are finding it difficult to pray, to connect, to come to God in whatever way it is, but we're talking about prayer today, and prayer can be difficult for people, I know, then start with love, the love of God. Because nothing is better than experiencing the love of God. Nothing satisfies more than experiencing the love of God. And if you don't believe me, it's written all over the Bible. Okay? So it comes back to this. Experiencing his love saturates your soul and takes us to a place of motivation where as we rest in his love, as we rest in God's incredible love, it leads us to a place of praise and prayer. You will want to pray when your soul is immersed in the love of God. Yeah? Just as the same as in any relationship where you are in love with a person or you are flooded with love, you will want to talk to that person. And if you don't, something's maybe a little bit wrong. Because you'll want to communicate with somebody that you love, won't you? Yeah. So the more we experience the incredible, unconditional love of God himself, the more we will be spurred on to go out and to pray and to go off and to do good works on top of that. But the preach is about prayer today, so I'm stopping it there. Make sense? Yeah. And I think, really, as far as that is, that's everything that God wants to speak about. Pause. Rest in his love daily, because this fuels your prayers and your relationship with him more than anything else. If you've never experienced his love before, there'll be opportunity in a minute to be prayed for, to experience his love. If you find it difficult to stop and rest in his love, it's forming a habit of in your lifestyle where you just give him a moment of the day. Maybe it's just 10 seconds at first, then it forms into 5 minutes after a while. But allowing him in, God, I let you love me. I allow you in. I allow you to pour your love into my life is one of the best prayers you'll ever pray. God desires that. That's the thing. God desires to have a close, eternal relationship with every single person on the planet. This is a relationship that holds the promise of complete peace, of eternal life. And that the reason I can be so sure on that is that Jesus died on a cross for this. Jesus died that we could enjoy his love. Jesus died on a cross that we could come to a place where we would be in his arms as often and as much as we jolly well wanted. So, your sins can be forgiven. If you don't know that now, then it's worthwhile knowing. By the cross of Christ, your sins are forgiven. They're wiped clean. But he was also raised to life as well in order to make us right with God, to give us peace. And it's by placing our faith in Jesus, it's by placing our faith in him that we're made right with God. So today we're just going to give you a chance to make a very important decision. And I'm going to pray in a moment. But you may find yourself in one of the following three categories. So if I could have every head bowed at this particular point, that would be wonderful. The first one is that you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you've never had a relationship with him, but you would like to make the decision to follow him today, to receive your forgiveness and begin a relationship with him. The second one is that you used to walk with Jesus, but of late, other things have got in the way. They've got a distraction. And you would like to make today the day you choose to reconnect with him. And the third one is that you're not sure of your salvation. You're not sure that at the end of your life you are going to heaven, and you desire the certainty that Jesus offers. Now, if you relate to any of those three, can I ask you to please pray along with me now, repeating these words out of your own heart? Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I ask you to forgive me for all my wrongdoing and receive me as your child. I commit my life to you now. Amen. Okay, with every head still bowed, can I just ask you to raise your hand if you prayed that prayer just then, please? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you for those that raised their hands. We pray, Lord God, that you will pour your peace, you pour your presence deep into those people's hearts, Lord God, right now, that they will sense your presence through them, sense your love through them right now, and this will be the start of something exciting in their lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to have the band back up at this particular point, but before they go into the final song of worship, we're going to give an opportunity for ministry, as I said, which will be I'll give you the three things that came to me. One is for breakthroughs. If you're seeking a breakthrough in your life in any specific way today, then I think that we would love to pray with you. There'll be a prayer ministry team at the front here. So that would be wonderful. Also, because we mentioned a fresh experience of God's love, then that would be great as well. If you want to come to the front, if you're thinking, you know, I would love to experience his love, either for the first time or maybe you've forgotten about it, then, you know, it's been a while since you've experienced his love, then come to the front. We'll have a team to pray for that as well. This one's really specific. I feel there's a lot of people at the moment struggling with migraines. And I would love to pray for every single person who's struggling with migraines at the moment. So if that's you, come to the front as well. We'll pray into that. There seems to be a lot of people for that one. So that's not just one. But no one's excluded. Obviously, if there's other things that you want prayer for healing or for anything specific, then please, please, please come to the front. This is your time and a chance to connect with God specifically. Okay. But if you are ready to worship again at this point, remembering that the love of God is for you, that would be lovely. I invite you to take to your feet again if you're able. And let's enjoy God as this happens, but come to the front if you want and desire prayer.